So it feels wonderful to be back. Back, but not back. I'm glad to see you all. We're right in about two-thirds through the Diamond Sutra, and I don't know whether you all even remember what it was anymore. But I thought maybe we should review it in a way, because it's so peculiar. The language is so peculiar and so challenging, I think, for us. And yet, it's very simple in a way. If you remember, the very first chapter is just about Shakyamuni Buddha going to town and getting a meal and coming home and sitting down and talking with people. It just describes in detail the very simple thing of what he did, acting in his life as he was living perfectly ordinary. And then this sort of esoteric conversation begins with Subhuti. And Subhuti asks Buddha all these questions. And mainly the questions are, how do we live? And what is this? What is this body of us? This mind of us? And Buddha realizes that Subhuti has some deep understanding, is one of his most brilliant students, and yet he still doesn't really get it. Subhuti is very much on the emptiness side. He can see through form. He can see through being as form and see that it's transparent and ephemeral. That anything, even the most solid rock, is falling apart. And even the most fragile being is falling apart. Nothing holds. Nothing stays put. His wisdom about that is very deep. But he doesn't understand the form side very well. And the form side is about how we enact our life as emptiness, or how life enacts itself as emptiness. There are many different ways of talking about it, and what we've just got in the middle of before we had to put it aside was the three bodies of Buddha. And the Nirmanakaya, the Sambhogakaya, and the Dharmakaya. Nirmanakaya is the body of form, the big stuff, the incarnated body. In other words, the meat. That's us. We don't like to think of ourselves as meat so much, but actually, that's first of all what we are. Sambhogakaya is the body of merit. And the merit is our value, you could say. The value that comes from giving. From the gift. And so we have our ordinary life in which we give and receive in many different ways. Receiving is also giving. In practice, though, there's the giving of honor and prize jewels and wondrous things to the Buddha. In other words, the kind of worshipful mind that we develop. as we begin to practice with devotional mind, we begin to feel a deep connection with Buddha nature. And that's Sambhogakaya. They say that the Bodhisattva develops develops this Avogakaya or the reward body by giving gifts, especially the teaching. But the Buddha body, the Dharma body, the reward body of the Buddha is the complete body of merit, which is enacting the whole thing, doing it rather than living it from the outside, I think you could say. So it's not about all these different kinds of people. They're all such funny names, Buddha, Bodhisattva, Tathagata, Sambhogakaya. It's really talking about how it is that we practice. How practice carries us and how we carry practice and what happens as we experience deeper insights. And of course Subhuti is being shown to us as beginning to achieve deeper insights, beginning to understand. So it's the action, which is the culmination of it, the perfect developed physical body that is talked about in here, is about the, not about the meat body or about the giving body, but the practice of the paramitas body. How we actually practice our practice in our daily life, as Buddha did in the very beginning. It's just get up in the morning and brush our teeth and go to work and have a meal and see our friends. As we practice, we begin to, that's what this chapter is about, begin to feel that we've gotten somewhere and that this chapter is being especially expressed to or Buddha to make sure that we don't get stuck somewhere and think we're already there or get caught by some insight that we have and let that be what we think it is. There's a wonderful story in the Lotus Sutra about a group of bodhisattvas who were told about this fabulous city, a magical city, and they all take this trip to go and see it. And they walk and walk and walk, and they finally get to this wonderful place, and they say, oh, we got there. This is the magical city. Isn't it wonderful? And they're not there yet. So, is farther beyond. I think it's always farther beyond for us, and yet the more we practice, the more we recognize how it is that we're going. We've got a direction. We've got a path or a track or a way. So, does anybody have a copy of it?
Yes.
Would you read it? It's very, very short. It's amazing. Red Pine talks, it has long pages all about it, but it's really short.
What chapter are we on? 20.
Page 327.
Mine is a different translation.
Okay,
what translation?
327, Ritu.
Alright, okay. What? This is page 21.
Oh, maybe that's a different.
It looks like the copy. It looks like it.
Okay, where are the footnotes?
In the back. Okay, ready? It's the right thing.
That's the right thing?
Yes. Okay, 20. Subhuti, what do you think? Can the Tathagata be seen by means of the perfect development of the physical body? Subhuti replied, no, indeed, Bhagavan. The Tathagata cannot be seen by means of the perfect development of the physical body. And why not? The perfect development of the physical body, Bhagavan, is the perfect development of the physical body, is spoken of by the Tathagata as no development. Thus it is called the perfect development of the physical body. The Buddha said, Subhuti, what do you think? Can the Tathagata be seen by means of the possession of attributes? Subhuti replied, no indeed, Bhagavan, the Tathagata cannot be seen by means of the possession of attributes. And why not? Bhagavan, what the Tathagata speaks of as the possession of attributes is spoken of by the Tathagata as no possession of attributes. Thus, it is called the possession of attributes. Possession of attributes.
Thank you. So, as clear as mud, I know. There's a wonderful little statement here by Red Pine when he talks. I'll read it to you. Develop physical body is the Buddha's reward body of arrogant virtues and adornments. Because it is the result of liberating beings and purifying Buddha lands for countless kalpas, the Tathagata speaks of it as a perfectly developed physical body. But since the reward and dharma bodies are one, he says it is called a perfectly developed physical body. Since this reward body is essentially the Dharma body, he says it's not a perfectly developed physical body. But since the reward and Dharma bodies are one, he says it is the perfectly developed physical body. First, he breaks through the attributes that are seen. So whatever attributes you've seen are not it. The golden body, the beautiful mind, all of the things that are described, as a Buddha is described, none of those is a perfectly developed body. Then he breaks through the seeing that sees. Since the reward body is the Dharma body, there are no attributes to be seen. Once wisdom and body are simply so, the defect of seeing is eliminated. And once the objective realm and wisdom merge into one, the Dharma body reveals itself. Thank you. the use here of such expressions as is or is not is meant to prevent beings from falling into the pitfall of affirmation or denial. If you say it is or you say it isn't, you're taking a stand somewhere and being someone. And he's encouraging us to say neither. That then there's freedom. The mind is free. Thus, he says, in teaching the Dharma, there was nothing the Buddha could teach. All he did was protect beings from misconceptions by teaching them not to give birth to views and to get rid of their attachments. Students should realize that this is all he did. That was not Red Pine, that was Tae Ching who said that. And I do, I am convinced that that's the truth of it. Although it's so simple that we tend not to believe it. To be free of news, protect beings from misconceptions by teaching them not to give birth to views and to get rid of their attachments. So is there something to ask? Oh, here's what I wanted to share. As for the Dharma body, the Dharma body extends everywhere and preaches all dharmas in all places. Thus it is said that attributes that have no attributes can be seen, and that the Tathagata's Dharma body possesses attributes. But for lesser disciples and ordinary people, it is provisionally said to have no attributes. In other words, if you start talking to people about how the grass and the trees are the body of Buddha, it doesn't compute. But from the depth of our practice, we begin to feel the truth of that. That the Dharma body, the attributes of the Dharma body, are truly all our life. Everything that we know and feel and experience. Questions?
Angie, remember you showed me before you drew me a little diagram? I think I've asked you this many times since, but of the kayas, the different bodies. And it really helped put it in perspective for me. It was, I think it was the sun or the... do you remember what I'm talking about?
I don't remember a diagram. I remember the first explanation I had of the three kayas was that the Dharmakaya is like the sun, and Sambhogakaya is like the sunlight. And the Nirmanakaya is us little bugs running around on the earth. That it's life. It's not one or the other. It's the whole thing together. It is the Dharma body. But the life of it is coming from the Dharma, say, the law of things. Sometimes Dharma is translated as law. That it all, in some amazing way, the whole dynamic of life that's pouring through us and through everything that we can see, is, we could say that there's sunlight coming to us in that way. That's our life, and we live it. We say, there's one we don't see whose life we fulfill, sometimes say. And yet it's just us at the same time. But us as practicing.
Also a very nice overview, Angie. Thank you. That brought me back. I was dusting a bedside table today and I came across the Diamond Sutra and I actually looked at it and I go, are we still studying? You know, I was like, I was totally like disconnected.
Yeah, we're still in it.
Good,
we're
still in it.
Well, I guess this works.
How was Saturday?
Very nice.
That was nice. That was very nice. Everybody sitting in a circle in the living room, my living room. That was really fun.
We didn't
see the hawk anymore. Showed up. Yeah, that was very cool.
Frogs? Yeah, Jeffrey and John found out they had a mutual friend.
Yes.
Riding up in the car together, they got to talking, and found out they had a mutual Buddhist friend.
It was nice, though, Smith. John Lowney and Jeffrey.
Leonard.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a lot to share. Have you all thought about what we're doing for hot soup? That half-day sit or full-day sit or what is it? That's the 10th of December?
I was going to suggest that if you want, you can come back to my house. That's a possibility. I prefer it in the morning and the afternoon. But, you know, whatever works for you all. Or you could do it at the Quaker Center. I could join you. So think about it. What is it, 2 weeks from now?
It's coming up.
It's like a month.
No, it's like three. Oh, okay. 3-4 weeks, yeah. It's
it's
coming. I'm looking at my
It's computer. Coming fast.
It's like it's happening. Are there any other announcements or we do our 1 minute sit and then bow out?
Yes, let's do.